Miller Brady is the president of PGA Tour Champions and joins us now. Miller, we appreciate the time. We'll get into the new schedule in just a moment. But this is a Tiger Tuesday. How do you prepare for the possibility of Tiger playing on PGA Tour Champions in terms of ticket requests, media credentials, logistics? Are you ready for that potential?
Well, how did I know we were going to start with that question? are we ready? Yeah. I mean, the answer is yes, we're ready. I mean, we're well prepared. We've done some whiteboarding over the past year in preparation for Tiger turning 50. And if and when he plays, our tournaments are prepared. It is going to be more. And you mentioned it, security, buses, portalettes, concession stands, all of that is taken into account when we plan for that. But to be honest with you, given the last surgery, I just hope that Tiger gets back on his feet and is able to play golf again.
Okay, I'll go to the schedule then, because I am kind of curious. There's a couple of bullet points in the release that was sent out. And the one that stood out to me is, I think of the 28 events on next year's schedule, 22 are played in markets that don't have a PGA Tour event. Why is that important?
Well, I always like to say that, you know, the PGA Tour Champions provides a great opportunity in the markets where we play to lift the brand of the overall organization. We're typically playing in markets where the PGA Tour may not play. And when we play in a lot of these markets with hometown title sponsors, we're the biggest show in town. And that's important to the communities. It's important to the title sponsors and the spectators that come out to watch us play.
Well, the PGA Tour is not in Portugal, but you will be in 2026. How does a new event like that come together? Beautiful country.
Beautiful country. They've hosted professional golf over the years, but it comes together because of the passion that our players have for our tour. And in this case, it's Ernie Els. Ernie was redoing a golf course in the Villamora area. It's going to be called the Els Club Villamora. And as part of that, he wanted to bring a Champions Tour event there. So he's going to be the host of the tournament. It's going to be played in the summertime. It's going to be a fantastic place for our players, for the families, and for our tour to continue to showcase how wonderful that our product is.
You look at next year's schedule, it seems very impressive with some of the long-term contracts you have with most of your title sponsors. Since you took over as president of the PGA Tour Champions in 2019, how has the business model evolved?
Well, to me, it's all about relationships and showing consistency with our title sponsors, providing value to our sponsors, making sure our players understand the importance of the Pro-Am experience, which is our Wednesday-Thursday Pro-Am. I think we're the best B2B experience in all of sports. And when we show that value to our sponsors, it comes through in our ability to retain our sponsors and have long-term renewals.
Well, I'm curious from your perspective with the board approving to eliminate Q School. There's like two schools of thought. One was like, hey, this protects PGA Tour veterans who have been playing for decades on the younger set. But the other mindset is that, hey, this eliminates a kind of cool pathway for dreamers and for grinders. What's your perspective on the elimination of Q School?
Well, look, the reality is we're going to provide more spots for members who supported and played the PGA Tour over their career. But we still have the opportunity through our Monday qualifiers for anyone to gain access. Perfect example, the leading Schwab Cup winner right now, Stephen Auker. He was a Monday qualifier who played well. He topped 10 three, four, five times. Next thing you know, he won. And now he's fully exempt out here. The other most recent example is Tommy Gainey, who did not have access. Monday qualified a few times, and now all of a sudden he won this year as well. So there's still a path. It's just a little bit more challenging.
To go back to maybe how this decision was made, not just by you, but obviously the policy board for the PGA Tour Champions, how much of the debate or the conversation was about, A, keeping some sort of meritocracy, you mentioned Monday qualifying, there is an avenue, and B, rewarding those players who had been dedicated and loyal to the PGA Tour for all of those years?
Yeah, look, it really was not that strong of a debate. It came down to providing the opportunities for members who played the PGA Tour over their career and allowing them to continue that opportunity out here.
Age 50, that's been the number for eligibility, but there's also been talk in the past maybe shifting that number even to 45 or maybe with the great shape that these guys are in to 55. How unmovable is that 50 number in your mind?
Well, I definitely don't see us going to 55. There has been discussion on whether or not we should lower the age. But I would tell you, for at least for now, we think that we have it right. And it's been that way since the inception of this tour. Could that change down the road? It could. But I would also tell you that the guys that are most competitive towards between 45 and 50 are still able and willing to play the PGA Tour. Once again, that may change, and we'll be open to change. But for now, we're pretty comfortable with where we are.
We talked a little bit about the possibility of maybe Tiger playing next year when he turns 50, but the class is pretty strong even if Tiger doesn't play next year on your tour. You're looking at a Zach Johnson, a Ryan Palmer. I believe you've got a couple other players. How much are you looking forward to sort of that fresh blood showing up?
Well, you know, we love our rookie class. We call them rookies at age 50. I had a conversation with Zach Johnson a couple weeks ago, and I know Zach is really looking forward to coming out and seeing a lot of his old friends. And competing again with them. I actually ran into Ben Crane last week at our Simmons Bank tournament in Little Rock, Arkansas. He was out there with some friends. We had a great conversation. He cannot wait until he turns 50, I believe at the beginning of March next year. So a couple great names that we have access to, and look forward to supporting them when they come out.
You know, Miller, I was struck by Brian Rolapp, CEO of the PGA Tour, during the Tour Championship, talking about scarcity and impactful competitive tournaments. I'm curious what your membership thinks about the competitive framework of PGA Tour champions. Are you comfortable with the rhythm of the schedule? Is scarcity something that you're looking into as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure scarcity is the right word. I mean, right now we have 28 events. We've been around that 28 number for a handful of years. For me, it's really having the right flow of tournaments. So what I mean by that is I want to play two or three in a row, take 1 or 2 weeks off, two or three in a row, and take a break. Next year, it doesn't really work out that way. We have, I think, a 4-block and a 5-block. So in the future, if I can fix that and get it back down to two or three in a row, then that's sort of the ideal scenario for our tour.
What are you most looking forward to with the Charles Schwab Cup finale coming up in a couple of weeks at beautiful Phoenix Country Club, where, as you mentioned, Stephen Auker in the catbird seat at number one?
Yeah, I always love going to Phoenix for this event. I mean, it's a good time of year. It's great weather. We're celebrating our season. We're celebrating our players, our caddies, our staff, the great folks at Phoenix Country Club. This year, I think there are 5 guys that have a chance to win it all. Obviously, Stephen is in that catbird seat, as you mentioned, but you have Stuart Sink and Jimenez, and I think Ernie Els and Thomas Bjorn. They've all had a really good year, and any of them could win the Schwab Cup in 2 weeks.
Miller, always great spending some time with you. We're all looking forward to 2026 as well. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Welcome back to Golf Today. Back in June at the Island Resort Championship on the Epson Tour, Melanie Green shot a final round 765 to come from 2 shots off the lead and secure her first professional victory. The win moved her to 4th in the race for the card standings. In September, Melanie followed up that victory with her 2nd professional win, this one coming in the Guardian Championship in a playoff over Gianna Clement. The win moved Green to the top spot in the race for the card standings.
And Rex, with that win, Melanie joined 4 other players with multiple wins on the 2025 Epson Tour. And thanks to Melanie's great play, she earned her LPGA Tour card for 2026. How about this? Melanie holding the top spot. Yeah, these 15 players all earned a spot on the LPGA Tour in 2026. And Melanie Green joins us now. Wonderful to see you. First of all, congrats on earning your LPGA Tour card. But what's the level of pride of being number one in the race to the card, the best player on the Epson Tour this past season?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm really excited about it all. And really, the Lord has just blessed me. And it's just it's phenomenal to just kind of see. I mean, even just where I was in the beginning of the year and then to see how it kind of finished out. And it's pretty supernatural. And I'm just feeling super blessed and grateful to be in this position.
That probably wasn't the start you wanted to your rookie season in 2025 on the Epson Tour, but I read a story this morning that said this was good for me. What did you learn about that start and yourself?
Totally. I mean, we all kind of go through our own like ebbs and flows, right? And, you know, just trying to learn you know, about each level and everything, right? It's different than college, and it'll be a little bit different on the LPGA, even though Epson is the closest that we'll ever see, right? But yeah, it's just you're doing everything on your own on the grand scheme of things for Epson, right? A little bit more for LPGA, but yeah, it's all a learning curve, and I'm just grateful that I got it out of the way early in the season.
Well, you closed like a champion. I'm curious, where did you see the biggest level of improvement inside the ropes, or was it something outside the ropes?
I mean, it was a little bit of both, but I think my putter kind of, I got something to click a little bit. And then, you know, I was actually telling my dad, you know, in private, and just people around too, like, you know, in college, I felt like the greens weren't as fast as they were out here. And I guess I told myself and I told the people around me, that as soon as I get the green speed figured out, that'll be the biggest improvement that I'll see. And luckily I was able to figure that out. And yeah.
Not to jump too far ahead, but looking ahead to next year, your rookie season on the LPGA Tour, what do you want your focus to be? Obviously, you improved putting. Is there any other area you want to try to improve on?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is going to have to see a little bit of a jump, right? Every level that you go, you're going to have to get a little bit better. But yeah, no, I'd like to just see myself stay with the process and keep myself humble and make sure that, you know, the main thing stays the main thing, and you know, just go out there and be an example for Christ, and yeah, just, you know, make friends and make sure that I'm being kind and polite and still making, you know, the right decisions in regards to, you know, who I want to be as I represent, you know, what a, you know, just everything that, you know, my heart portrays, I want that to come out, and hopefully the golf will follow suit.
Those are some wonderful, admirable goals that you have for 2026. I'm curious, will you seek mentorship out there? Do you have a community out there waiting for you, or is it going to be a little lonely? What do you think it'll be like next year?
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of figure out the whole thing. Luckily, a few of the girls also got their card from last year that I have become friends with. I'm excited to see what it's like out there. And obviously with Stage 3 coming up, and I'm excited who gets their card even from the Epson. Hopefully some of the gals that I got to become good friends with also get their card. So I'll see them out there is what we're hoping for. But yeah, it's definitely, that was, you know, one of the things that I had to deal with on Epson, right? It's, you know, you don't have a group of seven people with you traveling every week, right? So you have to kind of make your own community and figure out, you know, who you want to be around and who you want to surround yourself with. So it's all just a learning curve, and I'm excited to kind of figure it out as I go. But yeah, there's a few people out there that I can lean on. I know the TaylorMade guys, and you know, I know, you know, some of the just the general staff, right? And they've kind of started to make themselves known to me. So that's really awesome in the adjustment period.
Now, you didn't have a group of people around you, but you had one person around you. I read that you had a friend, a college teammate with you from USF as your caddy.
Yeah.
What was that like? Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, to have your best friend on the bag, I mean, she's like my sister. We always joke that, you know, God didn't make us sisters because there's no parents on the planet that would be able to handle us together. But it's the best. She came in. She's a year younger than I am. She came in when I was a sophomore at USF, and we clicked like instantly. It's just great buddies. It's like it was like a fairy tale summer. It was just a lot of fun. You got to travel with, you know, your best friend and drive around the country together. It's an experience that not a lot of people get to have, and we definitely did not take it for granted, and luckily we had a lot of fun doing it. And so yeah.
What was the highlight of all the driving around the tournaments? Obviously the victories are special, but what was the highlight with your best friend?
Yeah, I mean, just honestly, so we actually were able to spend a lot of time up at my house in Western New York, because we went on the Northeast swing. And so in between the events and, like, you know, for instance, we had the Michigan and Indiana swing, and then we ended up coming home for a week. And so we were able to see my family, which I haven't, you know, once you go to college, you either, you know, spend the entire summer home, or you're like, I kind of, you know, got myself acclimated to being on my own. And then you don't see your family a whole lot. So we were able to go spend some time with them. I got to see my sister and, you know, just be with family that I haven't seen in a while. So that was a lot of fun. But just overall, you know, get to spend one last summer like together just because we both graduated and, you know, that constant, hey, okay, I'm going to see you from 8 to 2 or whatever, you know, is gone. So just being able to have the, hey, I'm going to see you and get to be able to just spend some time together.
Oh, no doubt. Great memories behind you and more to come in 2026. Melanie, congratulations on getting your card. We'll be watching you next year. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much. Thanks, guys.
Continuing on Golf Today, earlier this year, 7th edition of the U.S. Senior Women's Open, Becky Morgan of Wales fired a final round 70 for a 6-stroke victory over a 5-time USGA champion, Julie Inkster. And with the win, Becky became the first player ever from Wales to capture a USGA title. During a list of notable past champs, talking Dame Laura Davies, about a 10-time major champ, and Annika Sorensen, Becky Morgan joined them, and she joins us now. Congratulations, it's wonderful to see you. If I recall, it was a 3 players tied for the lead going into that final round. What was your mental approach to that final round? Because I'm not gonna lie, I would have been nervous.
Yeah, so I think in a way I was in the fortunate position where I was in the second to last group. So I didn't have to sort of watch everybody else while I was playing. And I said to my caddy, Beth, like, I'm just going to go out today, not look at any scoreboards, just do the best I can, and we'll see what happens at the end. And I'll ask you at the end where I stand, essentially, which is what I did basically on the 18th hole.
I read that story. So when you did talk to your caddy on the 18th, what was that exchange like?
So I hit my tee shot, which I'm not really sure why that hole had always sort of bothered me off the tee all week. So I hit my tee shot, probably the best one of the week, down the middle. As we were walking down to the ball, I said, okay, let me know where I stand now, because obviously I need to know. And I knew that I was doing well because, you know, the cameras start following you. Kay Cocker was out. So I assumed that I was in the lead or tied for the lead. And then Beth just said, well, you have a 6-shot lead. And I was pleasantly surprised, just to put it that way.
Well, Becky, Wales has such a wonderful golf history, and there we saw you with the trophy and that beautiful gold medal to become the first player ever from Wales to win a USGA championship. Why was that significant to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously winning anything from the USGA is amazing. And, you know, I mean, I've had an okay career, decent. I've won the sort of 2018 Indian Open, which was my first victory, but this just feels so much bigger, everything around it. You know, after with the ceremonies and stuff, just was just so much fun. And I just, you know, I've had a lot of publicity since then. And obviously winning a major is something you sort of dream of doing. And I probably thought when I finished playing on the LPGA Tour that that was gone. But obviously they introduced the Senior Open 7 years ago. And now I'm lucky enough to be on that list.
You've had some time to reflect since that victory. When you do look back, what are you most proud of?
Like you said, I think the way I kept my cool on the last day, you know, I've been in contention while I was playing on the LPGA a few times and didn't get it done, sort of finished second, third quite a few times. So just really staying focused, focusing on my own game. I really had no idea what's happening behind me. So I think the 2 victories I've had on tour, that was the way I handled it both times. Just tried to focus on my own game. And then when I needed to know, going down the last hole on both of those events, I sort of had a look at the scoreboard. So I actually should have probably done that more in my career, but I still have a few years left, so maybe I'll just employ that from now on.
Well, by winning in San Diego, I believe you get to play Riviera for the U.S. Women's Open next year. What is your level of excitement, intrigue, looking forward to that wonderful test of golf?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've watched a lot of golf tournaments at that venue on the guys' tour. But, you know, to get to go to play such a cool place, I mean, I can't wait. And obviously my goal will be, you know, to make the cut there, because none of the Senior Open champions before have done that. So I'm sort of gearing myself towards that. I think it's the first week of June next year. It might be one of my first events of the year, to be honest. So I'm going to have to do a lot of practice beforehand, but that is my goal. I think Beth is going to caddy for me again. She's quite familiar with that golf course as well. She grew up in San Diego and stuff. So I think that, you know, I'm really excited. I haven't played an Open since 2018. So just going to go there, have fun. Obviously, I won't have the pressure that a lot of the girls have because they're playing on tour full time now and I'm not. So try and embrace it, enjoy it, and, you know, enjoy playing a really good golf course.
So I know you've had success in California. We have very high expectations for you, Becky. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and congratulations again.
Thanks very much, guys. Cheers.
We're back on golf today. Earlier this season on the Korn Ferry Tour, Adrien Dumont-Deschassart carded a final round 665 to capture his second tour title in the Compliance Solutions Championship. 72-hole scoring record at 33 under par, a couple of rounds of 61, and with the win, moved to sixth in the Korn Ferry Tour points list for 2025. And with that move in the standings, secured his PGA Tour card for next year, making him the eighth player at the time to secure his tour-bound status for next season. This will be a second stint on the PGA Tour for the former University of Illinois golfer under Mike Small. And Adrien joins us now. Congratulations. We got to talk about Tulsa. 61, 61, 64, 65. What's going on with your game to win by seven?
Well, it was a great week. Thank you, guys. I knew I had to play some really good golf if I wanted to luck in my card. And I only had two events left at that point. So, I didn't really have a choice. So I just lucked in the first round. First two rounds, played really well. I didn't play quite as well over the weekend, but I did a really good job to score well. The putter was on. And out there, if you can hit the fairways, you're going to give yourself a lot of birdie chances. So I felt like I did a really good job staying in the moment, even though I was playing for, quite a bit. But I was really proud of myself after that week.
Look at you statistically. You don't have any problem going low on the golf course. You're fourth this season on the Korn Ferry Tour in scoring average. But did that week feel any different? Was something else working maybe more so than it did another week?
I just prepared a little better heading into that week. I feel like what I did really good in Tulsa is only had one miss. I never missed left. So it was either a great shot or I missed right. I actually hit quite a lot of poor shots, but I knew where they were going. So I could just, adjust my target line a little bit and play with it. And in Tulsa, for those that don't know, a lot of greens have a lot of slopes. You could use the slope to your advantage. So only knowing that I was missing one way, I actually made it quite easier. And I actually give myself a lot of birdie chances and were able to make a bunch of putts.
Adrien, you're from Belgium, a small nation about the size of Maryland, but there are some wonderful athletes in other sports. Zizou Bergs, wonderful tennis player. Remco, a cyclist. They're of a similar age as you. Have you met them? Do you ever get to talk to other Belgian athletes as you travel the world?
I haven't in a while just because I've been in the States, for quite a bit. And I'd say for tennis, it's not very popular to go to the States and do college tennis. At least when I was 18, I think it's getting there. But I love following, other Belgian athletes. I'm a big tennis guy myself, so I've been following what's been going on the last few months with Zizou and Raphaël Collignon. Remco's been doing really, really well in the cycling sport. So it's really cool to see other Belgian people strive to be the best they can. Like you said, Belgium is a small country, but, we just want it bad.
I'm always amazed an athlete at your level is never satisfied when it comes to competition. And I look back at those first two rounds at that event at the Patriot Golf Club, 61-61. Do you feel like you left any out there, though?
The first rounds, I had two three-putts from under 30 feet. So, Davis shot 59 that day. And I was definitely, after making the turn, I wasn't quite happy with the way I was playing. Made seven birdies on my last hit, so that was a good way to end my round. Any golfers will always say that there's, the couple of shots that you could have done better, but at the end of the round, you're going to have good bounce, bad bounce, but overall, I feel like you can't really go back in the past and ask maybe for a couple of better shots,
Well, you went to a wonderful college golf program, played under Mike Small, friend of the program, been around for a long time. What was your experience like with the Fighting Illini, things that stay with you to this day?
I had an awesome experience. Stayed 5 years. Learned a lot from the program, Coach Mull. Just learned a lot about how to behave as a golfer, as an individual, but also how to play the game of golf the right way. That's something that, Coach Mull's been preaching for a very long time. The importance of short game, the importance of bringing it every day, even when we don't really feel good. That's something that I really learned, and I feel like I was able to bring to the pro level. you know, there are some guys that are really talented and they're going to take advantage of the weeks where they play good, but the weeks where they not necessarily have their game, you know, they might just give up. I feel like that's something that, you know, wasn't the case. We were better in that giving up when you were playing for Coach Mull. So definitely some life lessons that I learned from him, and very grateful that I went to Illinois for 5 years.
Now, thanks to that dominant performance in Oklahoma, you are heading back to the PGA Tour for the second time. Is there anything that you learned when you played there the first time in 2024 that you think will make you a better golfer this time around?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge that most of the places that I'm going to be traveling to next year, I know it won't be unknown. I'll definitely be able to prepare a little better for those events, depending on what kind of grass we're playing or the condition that we'll be playing in. Some courses, you know, it's soft and windy. Others can be firm. So I feel like I'll be able to adapt a little bit better. And I feel like my game's just in a better spot than it was at the beginning of 2024. So I'm really looking forward for the 2026 season.
Well, so are we, Adrian. Myself and Rex, we like to do interviews from time to time with the best players in the world. We look forward to seeing you on the PGA Tour next year. And thanks so much for the time.
Well, thank you, guys.